Well, this evening you come to Psalm 23. So let's read it. It's a well-known psalm, but it's good to read it. And if we read it from the NIV, slight different words that may just make us think as we read it through, and then we will look at it for a little while this evening. So, a Psalm of David, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We thank God for his word. Now this is probably the best known psalm, and maybe the best known portion of scripture that we would come across, with perhaps the exception of John 3:16, this perhaps is the well-known and the most recited part of scripture. And yet this is David's personal testimony. And whilst we read it, rightly so, at many different functions and tremendous amount of people read it at funerals, you have to remember that this is David's personal psalm. His testimony of what the Lord means to him. And so let's just have a look at what David is saying. And I'll try to break it into five parts this evening, very quickly, just to see what David is actually saying. The first thing he is saying is, I have a Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. See, it's this very personal psalm. David knew the Lord God Almighty personally. He wanted people to realize that the Lord was in control of his life totally. And so he starts the psalm by saying, the Lord, he is my shepherd. It's been said that Christians cannot say, no Lord, because it's a contradiction in terms. If he is our Lord, then he is in charge of our lives, and what he asks, we do. And so we should therefore always obey and always be ready to follow him in places and in directions that he leads us. But so often we perhaps think that we know better, and sometimes we say, well, not so, Lord, surely not. Whereas we should always say, the Lord is my shepherd, and if he's my Lord, then I need to follow him, and he needs to be in total control of my life. I don't know about you, but sometimes we get a few knocks on the door. Not often, because we've got a long drive up to our house. But occasionally, and they also know who we are now, but occasionally you get the little knock on the door. And not long ago, we opened the door, I opened the door, and there was these two people stood there. And I do talk to them. I don't get into big debates on their favourite subjects, but I do try and challenge them. And I just said to them, so you are Jehovah's Witnesses. Yes, we are. So you know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, because you are witnessing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, well, and then they sort of stepped back a little bit, and I actually said to them, you know, there is a verse in the Bible that describes you, and I'll try and do it in as much love as I can, but I pointed them to Matthew 7. And if you go to Matthew 7, it's very interesting. In Matthew 7, it says in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And I will say to them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So there are some people who say, oh yes, the Lord is my shepherd, but they don't know him at all. And he's not their Lord, he's not in control of their life. They've never asked him to come into their life and make them a Christian, and so they cannot actually say, he is my Lord, because they have never allowed him to become Lord of their lives. And that is the case if you actually ever get a chance to talk to those people on your doorstep. They say they're witnessing about Jehovah God, but they do not know the Lord personally. They do not accept him as their saviour. They do not accept the deity of Christ. So David knew that he had to tell people, the Lord is my personal shepherd. And because of that, what the psalm then goes on to say is a testimony of what his Lord means to him. The Lord is, and the first thing he says about the Lord is my shepherd. So I have a Lord, I have a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The word shepherd was widely used as a metaphor for king in the ancient Israel times. And so David is basically saying, the Lord is my shepherd king. That's lovely, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd king. I wonder, is Jesus Lord and king as well as shepherd in our lives? Shepherds care for their flock, don't they? The Lord, of course, is the best shepherd of all, because we will never be in want. As much as a shepherd is good, perhaps sometimes he's late feeding his sheep. Something happens and the sheep are in want. And they're making a lot of noise because they haven't been fed. Not so with our Lord. He's always there. We will never be in want. The Lord is my shepherd. I will never be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, just to clear up just one little thing that some people in the towns think. It doesn't mean that when the cows are sat down that it's going to rain. Sometimes it does rain when they're sat down. But you know why a cow or a sheep lies down? It's because they're full up. If you put a flock of sheep or some cows into a field with lush grass, they will eat and eat and eat until they feel like you will on Christmas afternoon. And then they will lie down and go to sleep because they're totally full up. That's the only way to make an animal lie down. Nothing to do with the weather. And if you ask my father, he will confirm that. And what's he saying here? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall never be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. There's still plenty to eat, but I just can't eat anymore. The Lord means so much to me that he's filled me to overflowing. I am so satisfied in my life that he makes me lie down in green pastures. The world cannot offer you that, nor will anybody ever find it in the world. Tonight, in all the major towns and cities, people will be out there trying to find meaning and satisfaction to life. In the morning, they will feel worse than they did tonight. No satisfaction. But Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10, I have come that they might have life. Life abundantly. Life to the full. What does it say in verse 11? It goes on to say, I am the good shepherd. That's what it goes on to say. Feeding us abundantly. Gives us spiritual food. He satisfies our soul. But David also says about this shepherd, he also says, David says, this Lord, shepherd king, leads me by quiet waters. Now again, being brought up on a farm, it's very interesting to watch sheep. They cannot drink from a fast flowing river. They can't do it. It goes straight to the nose. And they cannot do it. Did you know that? And so when you put sheep into a water meadow, you've still got to have somewhere where there's still water. They can't drink from a flowing stream, not if it's fast. And here we have this same picture. He leads me by still, quiet waters so that we can drink. Drink in the wonderful word of God. And so that's what we do. We feed on God's word. We drink on it. And when the sheep are hot and worn out, they lie down in a green field by a steady little brook so that they can be restored. He restores them, restores their soul. If you look at the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, it says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That's the picture we have. And David is saying, I have a Lord, I have a shepherd. But then he goes on, because he says then that he has a guide. He leads me by quiet waters. I'm sure many of you remember, or maybe still sing, the hymn, Saviour, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. One of the old Sankeys, I think, and probably in other books as well. And we have this assurance, and David knew it, that our Lord will guide us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David allowed God to guide him as God wanted him to go. So should we. If you read Psalm 119, it's a very long psalm, but some wonderful verses in there. And verse 105 is, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's what David is saying. You know, he guides me. He guides me in paths of righteousness. I can trust him to guide me through. Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, for he will make your path straight or direct your paths. Of course, the shepherds in Israel are different to over here. I know that some of you have been to Israel, as have I, and it's interesting to watch the sheep follow the shepherd. It doesn't happen over here. Well, it does if there's someone at the back as well as a shepherd in the front. But you see, over there, they know their shepherd and they follow. And it's just intriguing to watch as the shepherd just walks along and the sheep just come along behind, and the flocks are following the shepherd. They don't drive them. The sheep follow. Isn't that a wonderful picture of Christians? Our Lord will never drive us. He never forces us to do anything. What he says is, I want to lead you and I want you to follow closely. I want you to be every step just behind, so that I will lead you through life. But he won't force us to do anything. Like he won't force anyone to become a Christian, neither will he force us to do anything for him. But he would love that we would be so close to him as he leads us, that we are just there, ready to serve him as he wants, keeping our eyes on him. We have a very playful Jack Russell dog, and she would love to just go free and run away. But you know, if you hide behind a tree, she gets all worried. Where they gone? She wants to find us. Not in her sight anymore, and she's worried. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, because we can't do anything without him. We need to keep our eyes focused. Jesus says that he's there for us. I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for you. Therefore, I want you to keep your eyes on me. Let's say in Hebrews 12 verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who endured the cross, scorning its shame. Of course, we know what happens when people take their eyes off Jesus. Peter did that, didn't he? And he sank. He went down into the waters. We have Jesus as our guide. We need to keep our eyes on him, and we need to keep close so that we're guided by him. So David says, you know, it's wonderful that I have a shepherd and I have a guide, but I have a companion as I go through life. I have a companion. And it goes on as we read this psalm. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Wherever David went, and he went through some dark valleys in the wilderness, literally dark valleys, as he would be leading his sheep as a shepherd, he would know that Jesus was always with him. Wherever we go, as we walk this life, Jesus is with us. And sometimes we pass through valleys of the shadow of death. Now, I'm not at this point talking about our physical death. But when you lose a relative, it's like going through the valley of the shadow of death. But he's with you as a companion. He's there when we go through battles. David knew what it was to go into battle against Goliath. But Jesus was with him. His Lord was with him. God was with him. He knew what it was to have a companion in the darkest times of life. It's never going to be easy for a Christian. But we know that God is always with us. And we have this assurance, don't we? Joshua had the assurance, which is repeated in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The worst thing man can do is take our lives, and we'll still be with the Lord in heaven as Christians. He's there with us. David identifies two things as a comfort to him. He has this companion, his Lord, with him constantly. And he says, the Lord's rod and staff, they comfort him. A rod is an instrument of authority. And a staff is an instrument of support. And that's exactly what we have with our Lord. Thy rod, an instrument of authority, and thy staff, an instrument of support to lean on, is always with him and with us. And even though we go through the shadow of the valley of death, and even though we will one day, unless it all comes, go through the valley of the shadow of death, literally, each of us, even though we know that the Lord is there to help us, he has the authority, if we are Christians, to say, he, she is mine. Death cannot hold us. Satan has no hold on us. And we are on our way to heaven. Authority and support. We know that he is with us through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm sure many, if not all of you, have heard what Billy Graham said when someone said, are you afraid of dying? He said, I'm not afraid of dying in that I know where I'm going. But I'm afraid of the process of dying because I don't know what it's going to be like. That's true, isn't it? As Christians, we know where we're going, so we're not afraid of that. But the process of dying, we're a little bit worried about that, aren't we? Is it going to be painful? Is it going to be peaceful? Is it going to be long and drawn out? Is it going to be very quick? The Lord is with us. He will be there to comfort us with his rod and his staff. What authority the Lord has conquered death so that we could one day go to be with him. David says, I will not fear. Though I have to even walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. And then he goes on in the psalm to say, yes, I've got a companion, and you know what? I've got a host. I've got someone who is preparing something for me. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. You prepare a table. I guess you ladies are already thinking about Christmas. When the family comes in for that Christmas dinner or that Christmas tea, the table will be spread and it will be wonderful. There'll be nothing like the table spread that David's talking about. You prepare a table before my enemies. The table that is so full of sustainable food. The Lord keeps us going. The choicest of food that our Lord gives us. What's David saying? David's saying, my enemies try to get me down. And they do, don't they? Our enemies try to get us down. He's saying, Lord, you build me up. You protect me. Protect me from my enemies. Build me up. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You anoint me for the task that you've called me to do. Now, we said earlier that if he's our Lord, we must say yes to whatever he asks us to do. If he's our shepherd, we must be very close to him, following him. And here, if a Lord gives us a task to do, he anoints us for that task, and therefore we know we can do it. How many times have we said, you know, I can't do that? No, in your own strength you can't. If the Lord says, I want you to go and do that, or talk to that person, or take that service, or go here, or go there, we say, but I can't. But if he's called you to do that task, yes, you can. He anoints you. He gives you the ability to do that. David says that's exactly what he does. He builds me up. He prepares a table with choicest things, the word of God to feed on. And in the presence of my enemies who would get me down, they can do nothing. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. You know, it won't surprise you that me and my two brothers were a little bit naughty when we were young. My father used to run the Sunday school, and we used to sing that lovely chorus, Running Over, running over, my cup's full and running over. But we didn't. We used to sing, running over, running over, my cup and saucer's running over. They never stopped us. And all the Sunday school used to then sing, my cup and saucer's running over. You know, years later he said to us, it was just brilliant. Because when the cup's full, it runs over to the saucer, so it's affecting other people. And when the saucer overflows, it's affecting other people. He said it was just a wonderful picture of how that God fills your life, and then you affect others, and then when the saucer's full, that's the next people, and they're affecting others. And it was a brilliant illustration of how we should witness and serve. You know, silly little things that children do, but it's true, isn't it? David says, you know, my Lord gives me so much, my cup is overflowing, I'm full to overflowing with blessing. Every time he came to the Lord for food, the Lord built him up, fed him with the milk and meat of the word. David just says, do you know, this is such a wonderful thing. Now let's just remember that David wasn't always a model Christian person, was he? David had his failings, like all of us, and perhaps we might even say worse. But of course, one sin is as big as another in God's sight. But he could now say, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. And he does guide me. And he is blessing me. And I do feel so full of the blessings of God. And it's overflowing. And he trusts it's overflowing to others, I'm sure. And then what does he say? Well, he says, surely goodness and mercy, if you have the AV, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. It's true, isn't it? God never lets us down. And all the days of our life, the goodness of God and his mercy, in that we no longer have to have the punishment for our sin put upon us because the Lord took it on himself. The love of God, the mercy of God shown to us by our Lord Jesus Christ taking our sin. Goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. And David can only respond in one way, and he says, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I wonder if in the notices they say to you, we expect you to be here every day this week in this place so that we can just praise God for his goodness and mercy. I wonder what we would think. Well, I can't make it. Do I want to be in the house of the Lord every day to praise the Lord? What about in our quiet times? Do we praise the Lord for his goodness and mercy every day? David was so full. This is his testimony. So full of the joys of the Lord. He says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He just wanted to praise his Lord as often as he could. It's sad, isn't it, when we have people, I'm sure you know people, that seem to only be able to attend the service every now and then. We have people who have so many, would almost seem legitimate excuses, and they end up being at a place of worship once every fortnight, once every month, let alone twice on a Sunday in a prayer meeting during the week. Yet David says, you know, nothing else matters to me like praising God, being in the house of the Lord forever. So he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But we can take one further step tonight, can't we? Because here David as a host, he's got this Lord Jesus Christ and he knows his God, giving him every blessing and every spiritual food. But our Lord said that one day we will be with him at a wedding supper of the Lamb. You can read about it in Revelation 19 and verse 9, and with this we'll just close. But in Revelation 19 and in verse 9, this is what it says. The angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. Blessed or blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Who will be there? The bride of Christ. Who is the bride of Christ? You and me, the church. Born again Christians. We have a host. We have a wonderful thing to look forward to. We, if the Lord doesn't come, will have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, but we need fear no evil. Goodness and mercy, God's love will be with us. And he will take us to be with him, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, in heaven with God forever. We're just passing through down here. We'll be there for eternity. What a wonderful thing that will be. And we will be there with David and millions of other people. All those people that you have such respect for as you read the Word of God. And all those that have passed on before, generation after generation. The Lord will be the host. We will be there. And we will revel in that wonderful time when we will be with our Lord forever. I wonder whether we all know what it is to have the Lord Jesus Christ is our personal Lord, our personal shepherd. If we do, we have a wonderful future. If we don't, then tonight, just look at David's personal psalm again. And turn to the Lord and ask him to be your Lord, Saviour, King, and your shepherd and guide. And he will. And then we all know that one day we will be with him forever in that place prepared. We thank God for this wonderful psalm. Pray that we will learn from it this evening. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this such well-known psalm and yet tremendous psalm that David allowed us to have. And we thank you that you allowed David to pen it and that you allowed it to be part of the canon of Scripture. We thank you that here we see how much you meant to David and how much you can mean to us. Pray that we might all be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Pray, Lord, that we will all be looking forward to that day when we will see you face to face. In the meantime, help us to be feeding on you. Help us to be one step behind you. Help us to always do what you want us to do. Guide us, we pray, each one of us. And so we give thanks for this time together and for this scripture. Pray your blessing to us now in Jesus' name. Amen.